Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Delighted you could tune in for the Big Red Bench. Rory and Ciarán here until 7 p.m. this evening. We have a lot to talk about on the show tonight. We'll be going in depth on the FAI, the Oireachtas, John Delaney. Between now and 7 o'clock, we'll be talking to Gavin Cooney of the 42.ie, who's been doing some fantastic reporting on that all during the week. We'll also get the views of our former Cork City player, Neil Horgan, who popped by the studio earlier on today to discuss that. We'll also hear from Stephen Henderson and his view on everything that's gone on this week, and indeed Co-Ramblers' 2-1 win over Galway United last night. We'll also talk about Cork City's draw with St. Pat's last night. Events off the field certainly overshadowing that. We'll discuss that a little bit later on as well. So plenty to come between now and 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. If you would like to get in touch, 086 8104106, tweet us at Big Red Bench. We'd love to get your thoughts on everything that happened this week with the FAI, with John Delaney, with the Oireachtas hearing, everything that's happened since. A lot of talk today that John Delaney is done, he's finished, that there's been a big meeting in Abbottstown, that a statement is due this evening saying that John Delaney will be gone from the FAI. We've also seen reports that there'll be no statement delivered this evening, so it kind of remains up in the air, but there is a meeting happening at Abbottstown at the moment. Dan MacDonald from the Irish Independent, who's been doing some sterling reporting on all this, he says, he tweeted about 45 minutes ago to say that FAI President Donal Conway has been here at Abbottstown all afternoon, but the FAI are adamant there is no statement coming from the association today. So it's all up in the air. We'll get more on all the events of the week from Gavin Cooney of the 42.ie in just a little bit. Another man whose future was up in the air today, but we decided to keep him on for the Big Red Bench, is Ciarán O'Regan.
Yeah, but we got past that roar.
Yeah. Well, you did buy me a bread roll today, so that balanced things out.
Nice. I think it was fresh. Was it fresh?
Well, I hammered some nails with it first. And then I edited.
Look, if it makes you feel any better, I got a croissant and sure, it was as burnt. Well, I couldn't.
No, that
enjoy
doesn't
it.
Make me feel any better, Ciarán, but thanks very much.
I couldn't enjoy it.
Thanks very much indeed, anyway.
Just a very, very busy day of action on and off pitches in football. Southampton may just have done enough to keep them in the Premier League. They've beaten Wolves today at St. Mary's. Shane Long finding the back of the net as well. That's two goals in a row, which is big for Shane Long. Elsewhere, Burnley beat Cardiff as well at Turf Moor. Bournemouth, they've beaten Brighton 5-0 at the Amex Stadium. Big result there for them. Fulham beat Everton as well. Tottenham, they have an unbeaten record at their new White Hart Lane. That's continuing. They overcame
Huddersfield. That is some stadium as well, isn't it?
It looks really, really class. Really, really class. And I don't know, it did cost €1 billion. It would want to be class, but yeah. There's just some cool bits in it. Well, you were there last night.
We have a lot to talk about from that last night, so we'll get to that later on in the show.
Man United taking on West Ham at the moment. We'll have updates from all those in the next few minutes. Locally, though, in the Munster Senior League, Avondale and Douglas Hall played out a scoreless draw while Ringman Rangers defeated Middleton 2-1. Tonight, Women's National League, Cork City taking on DLR Waves in Dublin at 7 o'clock. That one kicks off. In golf, day 3 of the Masters is underway at Augusta. 5 players sharing the lead there on 7-under. Francesco Molinari, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott and Louis Oosthuizen, they're all up there. Tiger Woods, though, he's only a shot further back. He's on 6-under par. Rory McIlroy, he's an awful lot to do if he wants to win this. There's hope.
No, there's not.
He did a lot of talking about, he was reading.
McIlroy does a lot of talking. He's very good at that.
Mick Mulgay said Thursday, it seems things have changed. He's reading all these self-help books and stuff going into this, and he's full of confidence.
I've read self-help books. Hasn't made my golf any better. or anything.
This happens with McIlroy.
I can't play golf.
That's
why I didn't improve my golf, because I can't really play golf.
But we still have to have that golf off.
We can just play pitch and putt.
Both of them are useless.
Yeah.
Essentially, this has happened in every tournament, really.
It's built up, and everyone is like, oh, Rory's back. This is the new Rory. This is going to be the year he gets the thing. No.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I'm actually looking forward to going home and just watching that for the evening now as well.
Well, speaking of golf.
If Mrs. Hagen is listening, you're in for a treat tonight, love.
Zach Johnson, he achieved a bit of an unwanted personal first at the Masters. He struck a ball from its tee by mistake during a practice swing.
I've been there, but mine wasn't a practice swing.
Well, he won the Green Jack in 2007, but it didn't go all his way, as you'll hear here.
Yeah, certainly. If I pressed the right clip. I definitely was on the ball for that one, right? Do you want to intro that again, and we'll pretend that I was ready for and definitely not distracted with something else.
So yeah, Zach Johnson,
he won it in 2007. Yeah, green jacket.
Well, he had a bit of an unwanted attention to.
What happened, Brent?
It wasn't intentional.
Wow.
I have never
seen that.
I have never seen that.
Who would that have hit?
If they came golfing with me, they would see that several times on several different tee boxes.
That bounced off one of the caddies' bags.
Yeah.
Very, very lucky. Waldo, I think they were saying it would have hit. Poor Waldo.
Poor Waldo.
But it didn't hit him. It just looked bad. But anyway. In Gaelic games, one game in the County Senior Hurling Championship. Tonight, Aaron's Own taking on Ballymartle in the preliminary round in Parkirin at 7. Winners of that play, Charleville. Stainwich Championship. There's some football happening at the moment. Glanmire in Intermediate Football Championship. They're beating Grenagh at the moment. 51 minutes gone. It's 2-11. To 7 points. Elsewhere, Knocknagree in action as well. They're taking on Kildare in 43 minutes gone. It's 113 to 4 points in favour of the All-Ireland Junior Champions from last year. Rockchapel, they're playing Ballinora 3-4 to 3 points in favour of the Duhallow team there. In the Red FM Division 1 Hurling League tonight, Newcestown and Newtown Chatham have just thrown in. St Finbar's taking on Killa in Riverstown at 7:30. There's also some other games going on as well in Division 2, the Red FM Division 2 Hurling League at halftime. Mallow 12 points, Father O'Neill's 2 goals and 4 points, and Fermoy 1-11, Cloyne 1-13. In Camogie, the Cork minor team, they're into the All-Ireland semi-final. They drew at Galway today up in Gort, but that draw, 1-11 apiece, means that on scoring difference, because it's run on a group stage, they go through on points difference. I think they had a 7-point better points difference than Galway did, so they're playing Kilkenny next week in the semi-final. I think they're listening to us as well up in Gort on the bus down, so congratulations to them. Cork under-14 ladies, they were also celebrating today. They're the under-14 Munster champions. They defeated Kerry in Mallow today. Locally in the Ulster Bank League in Division 1A, Shannon 19, Corcon 34. UCC and UCD played out a 20-point apiece draw. Division 2A, Dolphin lost out to Cashel 24-32, while Highfield in the last home game of the season for them absolutely hockeyed. Different sport, but you know what I mean. UL Bowes 41 to no score. Division 2B, Sligo overcame Sunday as well, 36-34. In 2C, Bruff had a big win over Middleton, 26-8. Abandoned, they're also the All-Ireland Under-16 Rugby Champions. They defeated Wexford side Gorey 27-16. That follows on from their under-18s last year, who won the All-Ireland title.
Great work being done.
Lots of good work being done underage down there, so congratulations to them. There's a few texts after coming in as well from them, so congrats to them. In racing, the 25-1 outsider Taking Risks won the Scottish National at Ayr today, and there's an 8 race card taking place in Naas. In snooker, Ken Doherty is taking on England's Andy Lee in the first round of the World Championship qualifiers. And in basketball, in the Men's Division 1 League Cup, Trader Central Ballincollig defeated IT Carlow and DCU today, 83-74. That means they now go into the final to take on the Dublin Lions tomorrow.
My congratulations to the colleague. All right, our friends at Radio Kerry have sent this tweet out. John O'Regan of the Kerry District League has told Radio Kerry Sport that John Delaney has sent him a text to say that Delaney was stepping down from his position as Executive Vice President of the FAI.
Interesting. John O'Regan is very well connected in there. So if John O'Regan has come out and said that, I'd believe it.
Yeah, so still nothing confirmed as of yet. We'll keep you posted on that one if anything breaks over the next 50 minutes or so. But Radio Kerry reporting that Delaney has himself confirmed that John Delaney is stepping down from his position of the executive vice president of the FAI. Now, it has been, of course, a massively interesting week for Irish football, considering the newspaper coverage it's gotten from the Oireachtas hearing, which I watched all of. It broke my brain. Particularly the morning part. The afternoon wasn't as bad, but the morning part was a bit of a slog. But for more on it, we've spoken to Gavin Cooney of the42.ie, who's been doing some absolute tremendous work in reporting on this. He was actually in the Oireachtas hearing as well, so we spoke to Gavin earlier on today.
How are you? I'm great. Yeah, too.
Gavin, I'll ask you the question that you posed in your article today. Has this been the most damaging week of the FAI's history?
I actually think it is. And that is not a question that is lightly posed, considering, like, as I was writing for the 42 this week, that this is an organisation that has been to three World Cups. After one of them saw a ticket tape abscond with 200 grand in ticket revenue, and on the eve of another, the best player in the squad walked out. So it's not a question lightly posed. Like, the FAI, I remember, I think it was Michael Nugent described the FAI in the 90s as a perpetually exploding clown car. So, like, they've got plenty of form for dysfunction. But given all that context, I think absolutely this is an extraordinarily damaging week for the FAI and for Irish football.
You were at the Oireachtas on Wednesday. I mean, like, what was that experience like? For me, watching it was an exercise in frustration. What was it actually like being there in the flesh?
It was frustrating at the beginning, but I have to say, I found it kind of worthwhile just to see how big a wake the time it was, yeah. If that makes any sense. Because, so John Delaney cited legal advice as reasons why he couldn't discuss the circumstances behind the €100,000 loan, and along with his role as chief executive, which he served on a full-time basis in 2005. And that's absolutely within his rights, and he has the complete right to do that. But it was also a choice in his part. It was, you know, very frustrating. You could see frustration among the politicians, frustration among the press and the galley, and as you elucidated there, plenty of frustration among people watching. But then, you know, it was essentially an 8-hour broadcast on how the FAI do their business. And they had the opportunity to clarify and bring transparency to an issue that John Delaney was insistent he did for, quote, the good of football. But they decided not to do it. I ultimately found it worthwhile from the sense that there were a number of specifics that were teased out during the meeting that were worthwhile that I can go into. But just on a broader point, that's the FAI, or the most powerful people among the FAI, that is their attitude to transparency, and that is how they believe, and that is basically their attitude to the public, because Ruth Coppinger asked John Delaney in his new role as executive vice president, did he feel it was fair that he was answerable to the public? This is the public, of course, that, you know, buy tickets and buy merchandise, which allows sponsors' logos to be put on them for, you know, a lot of money. And that's one thing that John Delaney has justified his high salary in, is the increase in sponsorship revenue at the FAI throughout his time there. And when Ruth Coppinger posed that question, he said, I've already read my statement. He could have said that it's absolutely fair that he's answerable to the public. That wouldn't have been going against his legal advice, but he chose not to do it.
Yeah, I have to admit, when he said the line about legal advice and he couldn't answer questions, I had to laugh because, I mean, like, it was just the manner of it, and just like the lack of accountability from him was kind of frightening.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. It is his right, and he's completely within his right to do it, but it is extremely frustrating that you had a situation in which the full details of a loan were not, cannot be revealed until there's these independent reviews by Mazars and Grant Thornton, independent in the sense that they were that they're commissioned by members of the same board that are going to pay for them. So you'd have to question the independence in the truest sense of the word there. And the fact that, you know, but this extended even beyond the loan to the fact that, you know, John Delaney sat there in silence while Rhea Walsh, the interim CEO, was asked about the Genesis report of 2002. And she naturally prefaced it by saying, well, obviously I wasn't involved in the association. So while she stumbled through questioning on that, the man who had risen to power in the FAI promising to implement it sat silent. There were other questions, like Alex O'Connell, the finance director, was brought forward. He's only been in the job 2 weeks. He was clearly nervous and clearly flustered having been brought forward, and he was clearly unfairly unable to answer certain questions. But he's only been in the job for 2 weeks. And still John Delaney sat silent. Like, they were really unwilling to divulge anything.
Yeah, certainly were. What was the most surprising thing that you kind of that you learned that emerged from Wednesday's hearing for you?
I would have to go with Honorary Treasurer Eddie Murray sitting there and saying that he believes that the FAI have one bank account. And it was then clarified less than an hour later that, oh, in fact, we have 24 bank accounts. So the Honorary Treasurer there was just just the 23 bank accounts out, you know. But even, stop thinking about the 100,000 euro loan for a minute and think about, like, the levels of competence or the levels of incompetence that were on display there. The Honorary Treasurer was unable to say how many bank accounts. I mean, he didn't know how many bank accounts he's presiding over with the FAI. The Honorary Treasurer was unable to say whether the FAI have always had an active tax clearance certificate. The FAI were unable to decide themselves who signed off in a press statement on the 18th of March saying that the board of the FAI has been fully informed on the issue of the loan at all times. And it was actually, in fact, only three members of the board, then Chief Executive John Delaney, then Honorary Secretary Michael Cody, and then President Tony Fitzgerald. They were the only three people who knew about the loan from April 2017 when it was made. The rest of the board were only told on the 4th of March this year, after the Sunday Times had put in their first query about it. And the FAI weren't able to decide among themselves who signed off on the press statement. And to all those questions I've just listed, plus I think four or five more, the FAI promised to come back to the committee or the individual politicians who asked the questions with the answers after the fact. And we did this during the 42 yesterday, 48 hours after the committee ended, did respond to them precisely none of them. They're not answering anything. The thing is, like, this is clearly FAI's tactic, and it's fine. They're completely within their rights to do that. But they've done it in the full view of the public now. And you have to say, like, the response has been pretty staggering. You've got the PFAI, the Players Football Association of Ireland, issued a really quite extraordinary statement afterwards in which they built on Ruth Coppinger's quote that this has been hamlet without the prince. They went on to state that something is rotten within the FAI. The chairman, Gary Rogers, who is the starting goalkeeper on the domestic champions, was moved to say that the prize money for the League of Ireland is disgraceful, I think was the quote he used, and said that the Oireachtas hearing was a new low for Irish football. Like, where else would you get it? The Taoiseach is now saying that I don't think anyone was happy with John Delaney's performance. Fans are organising protests. The Leinster Senior League are balloting clubs as to whether there's confidence in the FAI board. The pressure is insane, and probably most telling is the fact that sponsors are now asking questions. Three are the main sponsors of the FAI. They're the mobile phone company with the logo emblazoned on the shirts of the senior men's team. Their move to talk about the stock that they put in corporate governance. And sponsorship money is absolutely critical to the FAI. I think it's 8.9 million euro. The FAI made 8.9 million euro from sponsorship in 2017, and that account of a turnover that was 49 million euro, and it's absolutely crucial, and it's ever more crucial because the FAI have now contrived to lose their state funding for the second time in their history. And while the financial element of that might not bite for a while because they were granted early drawdown this year, I think the next sum of money that they're due is 670,000 euro in autumn. Like, it's extraordinary.
You were obviously there, went on for 8 hours. Now, admittedly, I didn't see all 8 hours, but from watching it just seemed like a bit of a comedy show. Like, those people in there that the committee didn't even know about, Rude Doctor was in there. I don't know, all I saw him do was shuffle papers for the majority of the whole thing, and the communications manager, the new person in that position, the committee didn't seem to even know who he was until towards the end, and he didn't have answers then when he was asked questions. It just seemed a bit all over the place. Didn't even have copies of the statements like John Delaney's one when he wasn't going to talk anyway.
Can you believe, like, what a really unfortunate set of circumstances that was, not having John Delaney's statement. For anyone unaware, that the FAI were requested to submit all opening statements to the committee by noon on Monday. And while President Donald Conway's 22-page oration and among other things, the various achievements of the FAI, which include the fact that Colin Bell's women's team have a match later this year, and also on the mechanics and benefits of some kind of glow-in-the-dark football, like the the exact phrase, the exact title of it escapes me now. But for some reason, John Delaney's statement was not submitted with them, which is really very strange. And I think Ruth Coppinger called it highly unusual. None of the committee expected John Delaney to speak. They were delighted that he did, of course, but they needed, you know, you need to get these statements in advance to do, basically, just do your homework on them and do research on them. So Delaney read his statement and referenced the fact he was going to make a statement. Fergus O'Dowd said, well, hold on a minute, we weren't expecting this. They had to take a 15-minute break to read it. We came back, and Fergus O'Dowd said, we now have to take another 15 minutes in private session to consider what it is, and consider the line in which Delaney said he would only be citing legal advice. Enroute Doctor, he's the high-performance director at the FAI. So they, like, the FAI were initially meant to go before this Oireachtas committee back in January. They were invited in as a result to the hoo-ha that kicked up after Martin O'Neill was sacked. And then that was delayed until 20th of February. And initially it was to be John Delaney, then chief executive, along with Fran Gavin, the competition director, and Enroute Doctor, the high performance director. But then obviously the news agenda changed pretty substantially, so that other members of the board were hauled in. But they brought in Enroute Doctor, they brought in Fran Gavin for another bit of meat in the room. Fran Gavin didn't say too much. Enroute Doctor literally didn't say a word across 8 hours. I mean, you'd imagine as a high-performance director, he would be better at there doing something else with his day, but maybe not.
A couple of people certainly emerged with credit from Wednesday's hearing. You mentioned Ruth Coppinger as well, but Jonathan O'Brien, the Sinn Féin TD for Cork, was exceptional in his line of questioning on Wednesday.
Yeah, he was... things really improved when Jonathan came in. He wasn't as part of the morning. He's not a member of the committee, but any elected representative is entitled to go in and sit down and ask questions if they so wish. And Jonathan obviously has been heavily involved in Cork City in the past, and he had a very specific line of questioning as regards payments, just elaborating on the accounts and payments to League of Ireland clubs, and there were other issues on the loan that he asked about. Jonathan actually had two questions to which he'd been promised an answer. President Donald Conway actually promised him an answer by the following day on a question as to why the €100,000 loan wasn't included in the monthly financial report for April 2017. He hasn't got a response to that, and spoke to Jonathan yesterday afternoon and said that he wasn't expecting one anytime soon.
On that point, like a couple of TDs had they asked questions and they were told, "Oh, we'll come back to you on that," which seemed kind of pointless. With the who are they going to ask these questions to when they go back? Because the people who are in that committee are the people who should know the answers to those questions. But on Jonathan, there, I don't know, did you see it overnight? But he was taken out of Turner's Cross last night from the crowd. There was a banner up, Delaney out. No, he said that he wasn't even at the banner, but. Yeah, he's one of the people who kind of saved Cork City a couple of years ago, one of the many people. It doesn't look good.
No, it definitely doesn't, Mayor. I don't really want to say too much about what happened to Turner Cross because I don't know the full story behind that yet. This is the biggest problem for the FAI, and I think that brings me back to what I was saying at the beginning. It's like, it's probably the most damaging week in the FAI because the brand, for want of a much better phrase, is kind of toxic at the moment. You know, this protest being organised, and whatever happened in Cork City, like, that is, you know, it seems pretty over the top.
Yeah, it certainly does. We're running out of time, Gavin. What do you think is going to happen now moving forward? Fergus O'Dowd says he wants to see a sea change in the board of the FAI. What's going to happen? Is John Delaney going to ride this out? Are the FAI going to ride this out? Or is there too much pressure on them now?
Well, riding it out has been kind of the modus operandi for a while, but... the pressure is pretty damn intense now. But ultimately, I think it will come back to money. So sponsors keep on the pressure. I mean, that might make something tell at Abbottstown. We ride for the Oireachtas next Tuesday. I'm sure you'll be very excited to hear. Sport Ireland are back. Yes. John Tracy is going to be chatting again alongside Minister for Sport Shane Ross. So that will be highly worthwhile, no doubt. But I understand Tracy is going to be pretty hard hitting in his opening statement. What has emerged from the last couple of weeks is the lack of oversight that we have, and the independent oversight that we have into the FAI and to other sporting bodies in Ireland. By extension of that, so Sport Ireland have suspended their funding. What more can they do? Well, Robert Troy raised the idea at the Oireachtas on Wednesday that well, what if Sport Ireland made a if Sport Ireland were to say, before we reinstate funding, do we will ask if whether all the board will step down? And Donal O'Connell had to be asked that three times before he eventually said that we do not want to jeopardise Sports Council funding, so we would do whatever we have to. So you'd imagine that puts the ball firmly in Sport Ireland's court to do that. But the likelihood is that we'll have to wait for the completion of these reports by Mazars and by Grant Thornton and see where we go from there. But the pressure is pretty extraordinary at this stage. I mean, you know, we talk about the FAI writing things out, and John Delaney has written a personal controversy in the past, but he or the FAI have been more or less in the front pages of newspapers since St. Patrick's Day, and that's nearly a month now.
Yeah. Gavin Cooney from the 42.ie, thanks very much for joining us on the Big Red Bench. Very interesting times, and I suppose next week we'll hopefully tell a lot. We'll see what happens from that Oireachtas meeting. But Gavin, thanks very much for joining us.
Top stuff, cheers.
Yeah, great to hear Gavin Cooney of the 42.ie. We recorded that earlier on today before word of the meeting in Abbottstown, and a lot of talk that John Delaney is going to step down. And as I mentioned before, we went into that interview with Gavin, our colleagues from Radio Kerry currently reporting that John O'Regan, is he the chairman of the Kerry District League?
Is he the secretary or chairman of the Kerry District League?
Well, he's got a text from John Delaney, with John Delaney telling him that he's stepping down from his position as executive vice president of the FAI.
Those two are fairly close, so we'll have to wait and see, I suppose. But come here, there was City obviously playing last night. There was an incident that maybe not everyone would have seen. I've just seen a clip of it here on the TV in front of me, actually. But down in the, I think it was in the corner, there was stewards and Gardaí involved and supporters. What actually happened?
I'm going to give you what I saw. Start off with, there was a bit of a protest last night, so certain fans boycotted the Joe Delaney stand, the stand named after John Delaney's dad, so they moved down closer to the Giant Ann end. In the second half, a banner with, or not even a banner, an Irish flag with just the words Delaney out appeared. Someone was holding it, Delaney out. There was a couple of chants, grand. Then security stepped in, tried to confiscate the flag. Things escalated to the point where Gardaí were called in. Jonathan O'Brien, TD, was front and centre. He wasn't the one with the flag. However, he was trying to defuse the situation, tell the Gardaí that, whatever, look, it's just a flag, move on, just let it go. It escalated and escalated to the point where Jonathan was removed from Turner's Cross. The club then released a statement earlier on today saying the club is aware of discussion around an incident that took place at Turner's Cross last night. This is released at 12:13 p.m. The club intends to review your report, speak to all the parties concerned. The club is committed to making visits to Turner's Cross an enjoyable one for all supporters. We apologise for any upset these actions cause for supporters and staff, and we'll review all of the club's internal security procedures with our event controller and Gardaí. We'll update members and supporters when we have more information, and if anyone attending last night's game has footage they wish to share, email forestrust@corkcityfc.ie. They then released another statement at about 5:24, saying, further to our statement issued earlier, the club wish to confirm that it has reviewed CCTV footage of the incident that occurred at Turner's Cross yesterday. In the time since the end of the game last night, the club has also spoken to all parties involved in the matter. At lunchtime, members of club staff and the board of management met with Mr. Jonathan O'Brien, TD, who was for a short time removed from the stadium last night. Having spoken to Mr. O'Brien and reviewed the CCTV footage, the club wishes to confirm that there was no breach of stadium regulations by him. This was a frank and positive discussion, and both parties are happy. The matter is now concluded to their mutual satisfaction. In addition to the meeting with Mr. O'Brien, the club now plans to have further discussions with all key stakeholders involved in advance of our next home match, with the intention of ensuring the best match night experience possible for our supporters. We tried to get Jonathan to come on the show. We couldn't get through to him. We will try again tomorrow. But it'd be interesting to hear Jonathan's view on it. But that's basically what happened last night. If the stewards and Gardaí didn't get involved, that flag would have been removed within few minutes because no one's going to hold a flag up for an extended length of time. Whoever's going to get tired. It's basic. So instead of someone, a very, very minor incident, this has blown up into a national news story. As we mentioned there with Gavin, like Jonathan acquitted himself incredibly well at Adaractus hearing on Wednesday. And then for him, former Cork City chairman, one of the people responsible for saving Cork City back in 2010, for him to be treated in that manner wasn't acceptable. And look, to be fair to Cork City, they resolved it. They resolved with Jonathan O'Brien. It's been concluded to their mutual satisfaction, as the statement says. But it was, if you don't go in and try and forcefully take a flag from someone that just says Delaney out, it's a nothing story. It might be a photograph on social media, and that's it. It blew up. It was the wrong approach.
Yeah, there was other grounds across the country had Delaney out signs and didn't look like anyone was taking it up. Yeah. Like you said, you're only going to hold it up for so long anyway.
Yeah, it would have been a minor thing. Look, you'd see a lot of theories on the internet that say, oh, that was John Delaney behind it. He wasn't. Like, it was just, it was an unfortunate incident, but City have moved quickly to try and resolve it and repair the relationship with Jonathan O'Brien, which it appears they have done. Hopefully we'll get Jonathan to come on the show tomorrow. Alright, half time at Old Trafford, Darren Stanage.
Manchester United 1, West Ham 0, a fairly even game at Old Trafford. The hosts in front at the break. The goal came from the penalty spots converted by Pogba after Matu had been felled by Snodgrass just inside the area. Despite the real lead though, United haven't been dominant. The final ball letting them down on several occasions. West Ham, they've played well. They're unfortunate to be losing. They had the ball in the net through Anderson. It was ruled out for offside. They've looked dangerous from set pieces. De Gea has had to be alert with the ball fizzing around his box. At the break, United 1, West Ham 0.
We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, former Cork City player Neil Horgan will give us his view on the FAI.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. The Big Red Bench.
Rory McIlroy has dropped two shots in his opening at 9 holes. He's dropped back to 2 over par at the Masters. Tiger Woods teeing off at about 7:05 Irish time. All the focus, understandably, going to be on him. It would be an incredible story if he were to win the Masters. Last won a major in 2008. It's going to be an incredible story if he can do it. So looking forward to watching that later on this evening. All right, for more on the FAI, for more on John Delaney, former Cork City player Neil Horgan calling to me earlier on today to discuss everything that happened this week and kind of zooming out a bit and talking about the FAI and I suppose their lack of support for the League of Ireland over the years.
Well, it's been a bad week for Irish football, I think. You know, the reputation of the FAI and soccer in Ireland really has taken a beating this week. So overall, I think what happens next is the important thing. As a former player, that's what we always used to think anyway. For me, I see Sport Ireland are awaiting the reports that were commissioned by the FAI and the recommendations that are going to come from those reports. And they had said if the FAI comply with the recommendations for those reports, then they may start the funding again and take off the suspension of funding. For me personally, I think I've seen FAI commission reports before for the League of Ireland. The Conroy report was the one that, you know, I've kind of written about a bit. For me, that report was limited in its scope. I wasn't happy about it from a League of Ireland point of view, and as I say, it was an FAI commissioned report, so I'd have some doubts about the recommendations that will come out from the reports, and that's no fault of the people who are doing the reports. But if you're a body that are looking for reform, I think ideally in this situation for me, it would be the government that would be commissioning a report and not the FAI, because the FAI commission reports are going to be, I suppose, dependent on what the questions were asked by the FAI for them to answer.
Were you frustrated when John Delaney's, the only thing he said basically was, I can't talk because of legal advice?
Yeah, I was away, as I was talking to you, Rory, this week, so I didn't see it. But if that's the case, I suppose, yeah, you would be frustrated. I think most people were looking for an honest answer as to what happened. Overall, again, I think personally the fear is that the restructuring that's needed, the dramatic restructuring that's needed for the FAI, may or may not happen. So I do want answers to what happened with the 100,000 and why it happened, and that investigation needs to happen. But if for example we get answers in relation to that, and there's some measure of reform in respect of how the governance of the FAI board carry on their is conducted going forward, that's not enough for me. As a supporter of Irish football, this is a big chance for dramatic and much needed reform of Irish football, and I think we need to acknowledge that it needs reform, it needs dramatic reform, and perhaps we need experts from outside of the FAI to give their views as to how we best put our best foot forward into the future for our Irish football.
Now, as for dramatic reform, I mean, like, we're recording this at, 3:20 in the afternoon, but we're hearing that John Delaney might be gone by as early as tonight. Would that be dramatic enough, or is that just the start that's needed?
I don't know. Obviously, we don't know whether that's going to happen or not. I think, to me, it doesn't matter who's there. I know that sounds a bit naive almost, that you think, you know, the person who was in charge of the FA for so long, if he's going, that won't change things. But I honestly have a fear that no matter who comes in, or if Delaney was to go, if we don't get to the underlying problems, which is probably to do with how the voting mechanism with the FAI, and how that works out, and dividing the voting versus the handing out of grants, I think it's an important point. So I think there's a lot of undercurrent issues that need to be addressed, and taking out the head, whilst it might seem like the appropriate thing to do at the moment, and I'm not one to say that it is or not, I think the fear would be that would be the only thing that would happen.
Now, we've been League of Ireland fans pretty much all our lives, and we've kind of always, like, I think League of Ireland fans always feel that, like, the FAI doesn't care about the league, is always kind of looked down on the league. Is that your feeling, and can things improve if there is reform?
Well, the hope would be that it would. I do feel that that has been the case for, 100 years, honestly, that the FAI, since its foundation, has primarily dealt with the national team, and you can see how it would build up into that, because a lot of incomes would be, dependent on the money coming in from the national games and the like. So it's a question, it's actually a deep-rooted question, I think, about the reason for being of the FAI. What's the French phrase for the reason? That's it. And whether, actually, domestic football is almost more important, it is to me, than the national team's results from a governance point of view. And if you were interested in the health of Irish football, if that was your priority, then I would be spending more time at the domestic league than I would in the national team, who, you know, whether they'll qualify in 2 years or 4 years time, great, but like, the real signs of progress for Irish football would be fantastic, modern small stadiums around the country, professional game in Ireland, a plan for a professional game in Ireland, which would be a proper alternative, which is getting to, don't get me wrong now, and there has been good improvements, like the underage structures, and I think more of that. But even in the implementation of the underage structures, I think the FAI have been lacking in not doing enough to accommodate. There's going to be frictions, as you've seen, under 15s, under 17s, between local clubs and League of Ireland clubs. I think the FAI need to be leaders in addressing those issues. And I think at the moment, what they did, is they just created these structures, which are very good, and then left the clubs to kind of fight it out amongst themselves. That's just one example. But overall, I think the League of Ireland has to be the place where, real reform is needed. And you do need dramatic change, because even in the last 10-15 years, there hasn't been. Like, as I say, to go back to the Conroy report, which John Delaney said was the most exhaustive, report that was ever done onto the League of Ireland, it didn't mention anything about professional football. And Rory, I was playing professional football with Cork City in the era where we went under, on the basis and the answer that everyone was saying was that because you went professional, or because the money was too much. It wasn't even addressed. You know, it wasn't even addressed, and you remember everything we went through.
Yeah.
And then it was as if it never happened. Mm. So that can't carry on. I think there has to be, we have to learn from what happened. There has to be a plan for professional football in Ireland.
Well, when your chief executive is calling the league a problem child, that creates a kind of us versus them kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he said difficult child, but I agree with you. I think that comment in one sense I had no problem with, in that he was finally acknowledging that there's a problem with the Irish football, with the League of Ireland. It's fine if he had said that, but on the other hand, you had all these reports saying, and all these commentary from the FAI, including John Delaney, saying the league is in a great state. Mm. So they were, you know, it felt to me like they were on one hand saying when it suited them that it was great, and on the And on the other hand, they kind of revealed that, you know, actually this is a difficult
challenge. They're well able to take credit for, it was a Frank Gavin saying that they created the atmosphere for Dundalk's success. And even Donald Conway, in his opening statement to the Oireachtas, listing out the FAI's recent achievements, cited an 11% rise in League of Ireland attendances, which I kind of just laughed at, like, you know, because the FAI had very little to do with the promotion of the league at the start of the season.
Yeah, as I said, I think, Rory, I think reality, how many people in the FA are running the League of Ireland?
Mm.
How much resources do they give to it?
Yeah.
Probably, is there two people running it?
And possibly. Frank Gavin and...
Possibly two people.
Ray Walsh was the head of licensing.
Cody, yeah. Possibly, I don't know, right? Not a huge amount of people involved.
Mm.
How much do they earn per year? Or how much what's their revenue? Is it 40 million?
Mm.
So... they definitely don't prioritise the League of Ireland. Mm. They definitely don't. And it's, for me, it's an omission, a continuing neglect of the league, which is absolutely unforgivable. Absolutely unforgivable. And it's continuing, you know, to this day.
Certainly is. All right, Neil, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for interesting chat.
Thank you.
That's former Cork City player Neil Horgan. Very, very interesting stuff there as Neil discusses the FAI, John Delaney. And I suppose the lack of support from the association towards League of Ireland, which has always been a bugbear of every League of Ireland fan, that the FAI don't basically support the league, and Neil outlined why there and what can be done to improve it. It's very, very interesting. If you missed any of our show as well, it's going to be on our podcast this evening. You can get that on redextra.ie. While that interview was being played, West Ham equalised at Old Trafford.
Manchester United 1, West Ham 1. Manchester United conceding, making dreadful errors. De Gea rolled the ball out looking for Pogba, it was intercepted. West Ham came on the attack down the left hand side, in came the cross, and there to fire home was Philippe Anderson. It's Manchester United 1, West Ham 1.
And Kieran, still no official word as of yet, but by all accounts John Delaney is gone as Executive Vice President of the FAI.
Mm-hmm.
Texting friends, including John O'Regan of the Kerry District
League,
to say that he was stepping down. So still no official report on that yet. Gavin Cooney reporting earlier that there could be an announcement tonight. Daniel McDonald saying that the FAI aren't planning to release a statement tonight. So it'll be interesting to see, but by the looks of it, John Delaney will be gone by the FAI. It's just a matter of when it'll be announced.
Yeah, interestingly, I've just seen that tweet from Radio Kerry Sport that's out. Mark Tai has retweeted it from the Sunday Times.
So there's something to it.
Like, he's broke the whole story in the first place. Yeah. If he was retweeting that, he knows better that if there wasn't any truth in it, he wouldn't be retweeting it. So there possibly is, something in that.
And this is the thing. Is it going to be I'm gone as of this moment, or is it going to be announced that John Delaney will step down as the FAI's Executive Vice President in 2021?
I knew there was something I wanted to say before the break, but I couldn't remember what it was, but you're after reminding me. He's on the UEFA Executive Council till 2021.
And he's up for re-election, but he has to have a title with the FAI to be re-elected to
but
the UEFA.
But that's in 2021, so is he going to hold that position for...
That's what I'm thinking. Is it going to be, John Delaney has announced his exit plan from the FAI, or is it going to be John Delaney has stepped aside as blah, blah, blah? That's the thing.
He just holds that role, whatever.
I have a sneaking suspicion it could be they'll announce an exit plan for John Delaney and he'll be remaining on board to oversee the transition of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's the way it looks. It would be very messy if the whole board were to go. I think they're only sent us possibly three going, but
I have a sneaking suspicion that might not, that could be way off the mark here. But then again, he could just walk tonight as well.
Yeah, like they could be trying to miss deadlines tonight by not releasing that until a certain time. That wouldn't be a first for any type of organisation. But it's very interesting. But it does seem like he is going. I hold a lot on that text that he's allegedly sent to John O'Regan in Kerry because they are very, very good friends, the two of those. John Delaney was in Kerry almost every second week at some function, so they're very close. It's strange that he came out and said it, John O'Regan, but anyway, he has. So.
Right, Cove Rounders winning 2-1 last night away to Galway United. Jays could be that boy's on fire, 6 goals in the first division already, and an own goal giving them a vital 3 points, and a much needed 3 points. I spoke to Rounders manager Stephen Henderson today. Joined on the line by Cove Rounders manager Stephen Henderson. And Stephen, I'd imagine that result last night was just what the doctor ordered.
It was exactly that, Rory. You know, we're playing well, Rory, and we're not getting results. You know, last week against Cabinteely, it was a big battle for us. You know, it's a way you have to win football matches in this league. And again, it was very much the same. Very bumpy pitch, very, very strong breeze. The ball seemed to be up in the air an awful lot, but our lads stood up to it. And, you know, young Caboya was fantastic up front. And to get the win, to get it away from home, was brilliant, and as you say, it was exactly what the doctor ordered. It keeps us tipping away there, doesn't it?
I'd imagine a result like that has a great effect in kind of like galvanising a dressing room.
Yeah, it does, because we want to play a certain way of football, but sometimes you can't do that, Rory. You know, you kind of have to play to the elements and play against the opposition. So when we come in, the lads are kind of disappointed in certain aspects. But we said, look, what was important here is we're away from home. We're coming down to a very Galway side, a very determined Galway side, who are still playing for their manager, and you know, they were strong, they were physical, and that was what we had to do. We had one objective, let's try and get a win, and that's what we've done. And it's you know, it's they're bringing us up the table a little bit and gets us closer to those playoff spots, because we haven't given up on them by any stretch of the imagination.
I think anybody who's watched Cove Ramblers over the last couple of years will know that the potential that Jays Kabea has. He seems to be building on that potential this year and is turning out to be quite the player.
Well, like, I was really impressed with Jays last night. Was his maturity? Like, he's only done his leaving cert this year, already, you know. But again, it's a very physical, it has to be said, Galway side. He just knew when to come short and he knew when to run in behind. And you know, Jays is deceptively very quick. And, you know, he still has a lot to learn, but the great thing about this kid is he wants to. You know, he was one of the lads that come up at the end of the match. He come up and sat down on the bus and says, what can I do better? You know, and players like that, you know, I think are going to have a great future in the game, because sometimes a player will play well and he'll think that's it. You know, because they played well, you know, they kind of rest on their laurels a little bit. This kid, when he plays well, still wants to do more. And he's gradually getting there, and I think he's going to have a big future in the game, yeah, for sure. Not just because of his ability, because he has a fantastic attitude.
You obviously remember watching his dad play. Is he a similar player to his dad, or is he a different player?
You know, he's very similar. Like, you know, his dad was very quick, was great getting in behind. You know, so like they're very similar in that way. I just think Jays is developing more in terms of his hold-up play. You know, he was able to, I think he does that a little bit. You know, different to his father. You know, he's you know, he really is. He's a strong kid. He's getting stronger all the time, and that's what I'm saying. That's what I was impressed with him about last night. When he needed to come short and hold it up and bring other players, he done that really well. But again, he still has that pace and that, and identifying when to run in behind, and he done that great. Still a lot to learn, and the fact that he has such a father, the quality that, you know, that understands the game and understands the position. So he's getting good information in training and he's getting good information at home. Now it's up to the kid himself to take it on to the next level.
You scored a bunch of goals in the first half last night. Was there any kind of nervy moments towards the end when you were trying to close out the win?
Well, yeah, because there was a gale force breeze there last night. Well, I think it's here again today. You know, and you know, they were very direct, Galway. You know, they have a lot of players who strike the ball really well and put the ball in on top of us. Our two centre-halves, McSweeney, was back last night, and he looked back to his old self. You know, he's getting up and winning in part, as did O'Reardon, our back four in general, my lads. So, like, you know, what we had to do was we had to defend an awful lot of high balls into the box and then pick up the second balls, you know, the likes of young O'Leary and Horley and O'Connor, and that's what they done. And our wide players gave us an out. So, There was a few hairy moments, but at the same time, we missed two or three great opportunities. And I mean, one-on-ones with the goalkeeper, you know, to see the game out, which is, we didn't take it. So, like, that's why we made it nervy. But, you know, we got through it. We dug in there. We battled it out. Sorted it out for a great win, great 3 points. But, again, like, you know, what we're trying to say to these lads, Rory, is look at, we're winning the game and then we're losing two. We have to get ourselves into position. Can we win two or three games on the track? Do you know what I mean? I think that will give us the confidence then to go on a little bit of a run, you know. So, like, Longford Town, league leaders possibly coming down to us next week. You know, we have to get ourselves right for that. And, you know, if we can pick up a result there, a win, when I say a result, if we can pick up a win there, you know, We're on the way, I'd say.
Yeah, Longford Town coming down to St. Comyn's Park on Saturday night. Unbeaten Longford Town, who had a great start to the season under Neil Fenn. So definitely not an easy game on Saturday night.
No, because, you know, I think Neil is lauded and rightly so. He has them playing great. They play a lovely brand of football. You know, they are unbeaten. He made some good changes this year. You know, he had some flair players there last year where they'd be great to watch at times, but they'd lose games because of their flair players, really, you know. So I think he's made them a bit more solid without the ball, and they're still good going forward. So, you know, and that's credit to Neil to have identified that, fixed that. And, you know, they're hard to beat, but they're very good going forward. So we have to have a plan, and we have to kind of do the basics right. And that's all we've been focusing on the last couple of weeks, Rory. It's just trying to implement the basics, get back to the basics of when we're defending units. You know, just to do your job properly. When you're ahead of us, don't be letting balls bounce. All these small things that can be big things. We've been trying to fix that, and we need to do that against a good Longford team. But we have players that will that can hurt you as well. So I think it should be a great game.
Well, I have you, Stephen. It's been an interesting week for Irish football, to say the least. What's your view on everything that's been happening to the Oireachtas hearing and everything that's gone on with that?
Oh, God, Rory. I don't think it's been an interesting week. I think it's been a very, very sad week, to be honest with you. I think myself, like most of the country, sat down and watched what was going on. Most of the country would have been surprised. Unfortunately for us, we weren't. You know, that's what we've been kind of dealing with. I can't say much about it at the moment. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, it was really disappointing. But that's what goes on, and you know, League of Ireland football for all in this country, isn't that what they say? So there should be no discrimination against any form of football in this country. Well, I think most League of Ireland people would feel that we have been discriminated against for the last few years, and it should be the top level in the game. I think what TDs are noticing that with a proper football industry in this country, you know, that creates thousands of jobs, Rory. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not just for football players, for coaches, for scientists, for fitness people, for analysts. There's a proper industry there if people looked after it properly, and it can inspire all young players in this country to have a professional league within this country to aspire to, and, you know, create our own international players. All that stuff should have been done. And when you sat back and watched the Oireachtas there, you can see why it hasn't been done. So it's been really disappointing. Hopefully it's the start of positive things to come for football in this country. You know, and just watching what happened with Jonathan last night, you know, that's really, really sad, isn't it? I think it doesn't help. A lot of this is just sad. That's you know, we can be all fuming inside, but if you have a genuine love for the game and you really want all levels of this game, from grassroots up to League of Ireland, if you want it to be right and proper and people to enjoy it and people to be respected in it, having someone like Jonathan escorted from the ground is a really dark day for Irish football in this country.
Yeah, not a good look at all, is it?
No, it's not. Especially someone like Jonathan O'Brien, you know, who's, you know, I think he was there at the start with the Forest Group that saved Cork City from going out of existence. These kind of people should be cherished, you know, not escorted out of the ground by the guards. And I think that probably says everything about where we are at this moment in time. We're at the lowest ebb of a roller coaster here. We have to start raising ourselves up. I don't think we can go any lower than that, Rory, to be honest with you. Well, maybe we can, but at this moment in time, it was gutted for the man, gutted for the Cork City supporters that were there, gutted for League of Ireland supporters in general, that, like, this is what we're dealing with at this moment in time. Hopefully, we cannot sit down and come to some kind of solution that can bring football in this country as a whole, Rory. When I say a whole, I mean grassroots as well. Grassroots, all the way up to League of Ireland football. Have a proper professional industry within this country and have everybody working together, from the schoolboy clubs to the county clubs to, you know, just everybody coming down, sitting down together and saying, how can we bring football forward without fighting about it? You know what I mean? Just being respectful towards each other. And let's get a really good pathway right from under eight all the way up to a professional league here. Hopefully last night was the end of all the really sad stuff that's going on.
All right, Stephen, pleasure as always. Thanks for taking the call and congrats on the win last night.
Thanks a million, Kiss. See you soon.
Yeah, it's Stephen Henderson there talking about their win over Galway United. Cracking win. Jason could be among the goals again, and talk to Stephen about the comparisons with Jason's dad, Cork City and Cove Ramblers striker Jason could be, and got Stephen's view as well on everything that's been happening with the FAI and with John Delaney as well. We expect this story to continue to develop overnight. We'll be discussing it again on the Big Red Bench tomorrow from 6 p.m. We are back then. You can get our podcast redextra.ie, Apple Podcasts as well, and Spotify. Stevie's up next. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, folks.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.